Good morning. Thank you all so much for coming out to worship the Lord today. Thank you, Eric, and thank you, Katana, for helping in our worship. Before we turn to the Word of God, let's talk again to the God of the Word. Lord Jesus, you are alone worthy of our worship, our praise, and our honor. We've lifted up your name. Now, Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts through your word. We come ready to hear what you have to say to us. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you remember this little game. You know what game that is? Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. Do you remember that? I remember that as a kid. Yes. Well, today we're going to talk about defining church. What is the church? And the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus in the New Testament gives us a couple of important clues. And we find it in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. I invite you to turn and follow along in your Bible. We'll have it on the screen as well. So Luke chapter 19, the Bible says, he, speaking of Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." And so he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who was a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood. And he said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of God. You know, when Jesus entered the town of Jericho, he didn't go right to the synagogue, the religious meeting house of that day. Instead, he went where the people were. And he didn't invite Zacchaeus to a revival at the synagogue. Isn't that interesting? In fact, you may remember that when Jesus tried to hold a revival in his hometown of Nazareth with his hometown people, religious people, it didn't end well. In verse 7 here, it tells us that what he did do was to ignore the religious people because they didn't share his mission. He ignored the religious rules about eating with sinners. You weren't supposed to, if you were religious, you weren't supposed to go in and eat with sinners. He didn't worry about offending the religious people because they didn't share his mission. And sadly, the same thing can happen today with religious people in the church. You know, Jesus gave his mission to the church. His mission, he said, was, he said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what?" What was lost. Came to seek and to save the lost. And I've always thought most Christians understood why the church was here, but then I've come to see that that's not always the case. We all have things that we believe a church should be and do. We have our preferences, our ideas about what the church is and what it is not. And some things the Bible does tell us, but a lot of things it leaves up to us. In fact, probably 98% of what churches do today is their own traditions. It's not in the Bible. So God has left a lot of it up to us. But the place to start, I think, is the example that we have in God's Word. It's one thing I like about being brethren. They like the Bible. You know, there's an old principle that says you can learn more about something by first defining what it's not before you try to define what it is. And so this morning, I'd like to do that. I'd like to start out by defining what the church is not. There's some things up there that the church is. It's God, it's me, it's relationships, it's friendship. But let's talk about, first of all, what church is not. 2 weeks ago, we learned from Mary and Martha, if you were here, that there was just one thing that Jesus said was important. Do you remember what it was? Does anybody remember? What's the one thing that Jesus taught Mary and Martha was more important than anything else? It was a one-to-one personal relationship with Jesus. Remember, Martha was all upset about many things that had to be done. You remember that? But Mary sat at Jesus' feet, developing that relationship with him. And Jesus said that was the one thing that was most important. And that is what the church can offer to the world, a one-to-one personal relationship with Jesus. Sadly, some churches do something else instead of offering the one thing. They distract people from that one thing by what they are. I want to give you some quick examples of what churches can become. Okay? Churches can become a police department, rule enforcers, you know? Attendance, proper dress, the right clothes, talking right. Churches also can become political action clubs. Politics can take over, either national politics. And we have some churches in our district, I'm told, that, you know, lean one way or the other. Or it could be local politics, you know, getting enough votes in your little group to run the church. That can take over churches. Sometimes churches can become theaters. They can put on a great show for everybody. Or they can become a funeral home. Somber, formal, and serious. No smiles, please. No clapping. Churches can become that. They can also become like a seminary, okay, where the focus is on information instead of transformation. They can also become a museum. Museums are not bad. They are preservers of the past. But in this type of church, tradition becomes more important than truth. So what happens in all of those type of churches is that a relationship with Jesus Christ takes a back seat. It is second place to something else that's less important. And that's a danger for all of us. It can happen in any church, no matter what name is over the door. So today let's look at some other things that this church isn't. The first one I'd like to suggest to you is that church isn't a fortress. Some of them look like it, but we're not a fortress. Some churches believe that their main job is to protect Christians from the world, to be a haven of peace and hope in a horrible, broken world. Now, we are the sheep, right? And there are wolves out there, according to the Bible. And so, this type of church says, well, we have to protect the sheep from the wolves. We're to be in the world, but not of it. See how that works? And it can take over. There are many churches that knowingly or unknowingly hold to the idea that they're a place to hide from the evils of the world. Let me remind you of the type of company that Jesus kept when he walked this earth. Sinners. That's the kind of company, and it got him in trouble with the religious people, but that's the kind of company he kept. You know, he could have adopted the Pharisees' method of separating himself entirely from everything that was unclean. Instead, he was known as, the Bible says, a friend of sinners. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he was known as a friend of sinners? Can our church say that? Can our church, can you say that? Someone once said, if you want to be a friend of sinners, you have to sit with sinners. Sometimes it means sitting in the smoking section, being places, you know, you'd rather not be. Would you go into a bar? I remember being at a pastor's meeting one time and we did that. We went into a bar and we actually talked with people, got Cokes. Got to go where the sinners are, right? Jesus told his disciples that he was sending them out like sheep among what? Wolves. He wasn't keeping them from, he was sending them out among them. And when Jesus prayed for his disciples, he said this, my prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. So the church isn't about protecting Christians from the world, but about Christians reaching the world for Christ. Next, church isn't a club. It's not a club. I was part of that club one time, the Rotary Club. What's a club? A club, simple definition, is an association of people with a common interest. Does that make sense?
people with a common interest. It could be sports, it could be book reading, it could be bird watching, it could be any of those things. But listen, folks, church is more than people who are just interested in studying the Bible. It's more than that. The Bible is so much more than an interesting object of study. It is that, but it's so much more. One of the strengths is the friendships in the community that come out of our worship experience. People who have been hurt or rejected for years can come to church and find healing in healthy relationships. But if we're not careful, friendships can turn into cliques if we're not careful. And new people walking through the door can find themselves on the outside looking in. I've been in churches where nobody talked to you. But if you ask people about, oh, we have a friendly church. Yeah, to your friends, you know. Our circle of friends can become so important that we are self-absorbed. We miss those Christ is calling us to serve. Let me ask you, how do you walk into church? Think about this. How do you walk into church? Do you pray about where you're going to sit? Do you know you could have a seat ministry? If we had pews, we'd call it a pew ministry. We don't have pews. Look for a new person, someone you haven't sat with before. Make a new friend. Reach out. That can be ministry. Instead of grabbing a bulletin and sitting down when you arrive, why not walk across the room? Talk to someone new. Make a new friend. So first of all, the church isn't about protecting Christians from the world. It's not a Christian club or community center. It's not that. Another thing church isn't is that church isn't an event. It's not an event. In Western culture especially, we've made church an event that happens once a week. Churches compete to be the most fun. We get ready for church, we drive to church, we do church, we come home, and then we don't think about it till next week. It's kind of like grocery shopping, you know. It's an event. You know, God doesn't just want you to go to church. He wants you and me to be the church. To be the church. God never intended church to be an event that we only participate in for a couple hours each week. We are the church. That means we carry the church with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It follows us wherever we go, whatever we do. Church is as much as our conversation with a coworker on Monday or with a neighbor on Monday as it is in what we do on Sunday. Church isn't about protecting Christians from the world. It's not a club. It's not an event. It's also not a location or a building. Church isn't just a building. Many don't realize this. Well, some of us do understand. We need to be reminded that church isn't a specific building or location. I liked the early brethren practice of calling the building they met in a meeting house. It's the meeting house. And when we start calling it the church, we think that it's the building. And it's not. Our buildings and programs create a place for church to happen, but they're no more or less sacred than your living room or the neighborhood pub. Okay, it's just a building. It's a building. Yes, we've set it aside for a purpose, but it's still just a building. Where is the church in Moneta, Virginia right now? It's meeting several locations. It's meeting in several locations. Now, that idea might bother some people, and if so, I'm sorry, but our goal here is to be biblical. We're all about the Bible, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible, okay? Now, if you do think that the church is a location or a building, then I would challenge you to open your Bible and look in the New Testament and find that there. I haven't found it. If you do, show me. And I'd be glad to sit down with you and look at the Bible together. When the church becomes a location or a building, maintaining the building and going to meetings gradually replaces serving others in Christ's name. I've seen it happen. The real church isn't a building at all. It's the presence of Christ within the hearts and the lives of Christian people who are sharing Christ with their world. So the church isn't about protecting Christians from the world. It's not a club. It's not an event. It isn't a location or a building. Next, church isn't even a denomination. It's not a denomination. You know, it's normal to think that our own beliefs and doctrines are the right way. the only way. We're the only ones that are right, you know, and that's understandable. That's understandable. We wouldn't practice them if we didn't believe them to be true. You know, the reason I'm brethren is because I'm convinced that what we believe and what we practice is the best way to understand the Bible and put it into our lives. Okay, that's why I'm brethren. The danger comes, though, when we begin to think that our way is the only way that pleases God, that we're the only ones who are right and everybody else is wrong. That's the danger. The truth is, there are some hills to die on, but there are other battles that don't need to be fought. In Romans chapter 14, the Bible talks about disputable matters. These are things the church has disagreed about since the beginning of the church, okay? Things like baptism, how do you do that? And communion, how do you do that? Some people, when they baptize, they sprinkle. Some dip, some do it once, some do it like us three times, okay? With communion, some people take communion with wafers and wine. Some people use unleavened bread and grape juice. Some people dip it in the wine. I mean, there's all different ways to do it. Some people, like us, wash feet and have a meal with communion. And I hope you'll come a week from this Thursday when we have communion on Maundy Thursday, okay? But there's different ways to do it. Other people disagree over which version of the Bible to use, okay? And one day soon, we're all going to be sitting up in heaven wondering what all the fuss was about. So the church isn't about protecting Christians from the world. It's not a club or an event. It isn't a location or a building. It's not a particular denomination. And lastly, I'd like to suggest to you that church isn't about you. It's not about me. In my opinion, this is the most important point. If a church isn't about you, and it isn't about me, then who is it about? I like to suggest to you that it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus, and it's about them. People who don't follow Christ, the Bible says they're lost. They're like sheep without a shepherd. Some people visit a church and go home complaining that the music was too loud, the message was too long, the air conditioning was too cold. What are they saying? They're saying that it didn't suit them. They didn't like it. But they forget to ask an important question. Did Jesus like it? Did Jesus like it? Did Jesus like it because of whom they were trying to reach? Other people view church as a pick-me-up, you know, a little boost of joy and happiness to get you through the week. Show up, you know, you sing a couple songs, shake a few hands, go home, pull the pot roast out of the oven, you know. Only one problem. I can't find that in the Bible either. Yes, I believe, and I've said this, that church should charge your battery spiritually. I do my best, okay? But that's not the main reason that Jesus left us here to be the church, okay? The church was never meant to be a spiritual battery charger. Okay, well then who decides what the church is to be about? Well, we're Americans. We all get to vote on that, right? We all get to vote on. Well, how about letting Jesus decide what the church should be? The church was never meant to be a place to cater to the comforts of Christians. It is and always has been about seeking and saving who? Those who are lost, without Christ, without hope, without peace. But what have we seen? Well, if you search the New Testament, you'll see that church, it isn't about protecting Christians. It's not about being a club. It's not an event. It's not about a building or a location. It's not about a denomination. And it's certainly not about you or me. Instead, God is calling us to be a place where real people can struggle honestly with life. You know, if you look at Facebook, you think everybody's having a grand old time. Can I give you a newsflash? That's the highlight reel of their life, okay? Everybody struggles with life. Church should be a place with real people to come, with real problems. He wants us to be fully committed followers of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, to be people whose lives are not just informed by the Bible, but transformed by the Word of God. That's what real change is. He's calling us to Jesus' mission of reaching the lost at any cost. And he wants us to have Jesus' mindset, that we're here not to be served, but to serve others. And if we can become that kind of church, that's what I think we could call real church. That's real church. And that's what Jesus wants according to his word. Let's pray that we become that church. Would you do that with me? Pray that we become that church. Let's join together in prayer right now. Father, thank you so much that you have left us with a more sure word. That when it comes to things like church, we don't have to guess. We can open your word and see what Jesus wants us to be about. Lord, forgive us for the tendency to make church about other things, to even make it about us. Lord, help us to be a church that focuses on Jesus' mission. To not be here to be served, but to serve and to reach the lost, to seek and to save those Jesus came to die for. Especially now as we move into the Easter season, Lord, place on our hearts those who we need to reach out to, people to invite, people to share Christ with, that they too might share the joy that is ours in serving a resurrected Savior. For I pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.